Well, I've given this probably three or four times in different places, and it's always a pleasure to be able to look back on how God has worked in your life. Now, these times when you're able to stand and declare what God has done, it brings a remembrance of just how good he is and just how bad we are and how wonderfully he does change a person. So I was brought up in a Christian family. We didn't always go to church, but my mum sent us to Sunday school. It was a little Methodist church down the road on Station Road. It's just opposite where I live now, and it's unfortunately been bought and turned into a house. I mean, it looks nice, but to walk into it, you wouldn't recognise it as what it used to be. It was pretty much like this, to be honest. It was a little bit longer, a little bit narrower. Unfortunately, the pulpit used to be in the corner rather than the central, but that's a Methodist for you. Had a little set out like this, a rail, communion table at the front, pews, two sections within central aisle, and it used to be lovely to grow up and go down to that little church. It was only probably not even a minute's walk down the road from where we lived. They had a morning service, we had Sunday school in the afternoon, and they had an evening service. In the winter, they just tended to go to one evening service. But it's through that little Methodist church that I began to understand and recognize that God existed. So we had a huge Sunday school when we first started going as a child. It was, you know, just here, there was like doors that you used to be able to pull back, and they used to have like a tiered platform, and the Sunday school children, it was absolutely full. I mean, I never actually managed to get to the top. I always wanted to be on that top little thing. I mean, it had never passed health and safety now because it was that high. And they used to love singing, used to love the poems and stuff that we used to read. And I just loved church. Then over the years, the Sunday school started to dwindle, and it became really just my mum, a friend, our family, and a couple of other girls that were in the Sunday school, and they faithfully did it over the years. But it was good, really good. Every year we used to put on an anniversary. I don't know whether you've ever had them here, Sunday school anniversaries, and you know, the lady that was my mum's friend used to get poems and plays, and I used to play the keyboard, and in them days, the circuit used to come together and support things like that, and the church was always full, and it was such a joy to do. And then over the years, attendance started to diminish down, and the church became very small in attendance, but we continued on. Craig, my brother, I think he was 16, decided that he wanted to go into the ministry and preach, and he started the local preacher's course, which inspired me in later years to do the same. But I came to a point where probably most men get to when they start to want somebody in their life. And that was the start of my Christian downfall, if you like. Started to really desire a female companion. But the church had nothing to offer. I think the youngest person outside my mum was about 65, and I was, you know, 17, 18 at the time, so wouldn't it look great, would it? So I started, the only term I can call it is messing around with people that I shouldn't have got involved with. Whilst going to church, whilst trying to help run the youth group, it was hypocritical, to be honest. It was me there teaching these kids things of God, and I was in relationship that I shouldn't have been in. God corrected me through that, and he brought me out of it, and it's then that I turned to local preaching, and I started going through the local preacher's course. I was really, really into it. But unfortunately, the course it started going to strange things, looking at, you know, Darwin's theory of evolution and, you know, things that really shouldn't be in a pulpit. So I was a bit rebellious at the time. You know, they used to have a lectionary and they wanted to preach from that week in, week out, and I would just totally ignore it and preach what I wanted to preach. You know, you're supposed to have notes, and I'd go in and have very few notes, and just, I got to the point where again I started to wonder, because I had no real guidance from the minister at the time. And again, this thing started creeping in. I got involved in another stupid relationship. I told the minister about this, and she allowed me to carry on in the pulpit, which was horrendous. I should have been tossed out until I got myself sorted out. That relationship ended, and found myself back where I needed to be again, and but still hunting this relationship. And Providence brought Tracy into my life. You know, I won't go through all the ins and outs, but I realized after time that had I waited and not chased, I could have avoided so much heartache, so much rebuke from God, and training in a sense of having to go through those trials. But that's hindsight, isn't it? You know, God uses these things. You know, he's not the author of them, but he uses us to teach things. So anyway, Tracy came along. We got married after a couple of years. We started going to Trial Church. Then we started going to Arena Church in Ilkeston. That wasn't suitable. It was very, let's just say, you had to fit in. I used to play the keyboard at the front, and if you couldn't memorize the songs, it wasn't very well looked on, and you know, you had to be hip and trendy and wear ripped jeans, and I just didn't fit in. So we moved on, and the way that happened was that there was a gentleman that came into our lives through Ryan and Joy. He came to a birthday party at Ryan's house at the time, and we sat discussing scripture in the living room. And it was on a level that I'd never, ever experienced before. He started talking to us about, you know, the proper things of God, about salvation, about grace, about the works of grace and not the works of man, and preaching the Bible how it should be preached. And I'd never heard this before. And it set a spark in all of our lives. So we came out of Arena and we started meeting in homes, which turned into meeting into various different places at Mansfield and Hilltop. And it was only then really that I began to get a burden for preaching and for ministering. Because I understand that the Word of God was more powerful than I'd ever experienced before. That it was an alive and a living and a breathing Word that actually does make a change to people's lives. Not just something that you studied and had head knowledge of and just stood up and presented before people in the hope that they enjoyed it. So we carried on through years. We started preaching on the streets in Nottingham and Mansfield and meeting early mornings to pray that God would move in the nation, that God would use us as a group of people. And it stayed quite static for several years. It probably about 7 or 8 years, people came in amongst us, went. But then, I can't remember the year, but it was 4 or 5 years ago, it must be, that we moved to Selston. Ryan at the time felt that we should be preaching where we lived or where we grew up. So we started meeting in Selston Parish Hall. Lyndon at that time, the gentleman, was our mentor. He developed motor neurone disease, and he started on a serious decline. We looked after him, went and got him up and out of a chair into his bed at night, and really cared for him. And I had the privilege of one night being there when he started, you know, gasping, and he passed away. And that really was the start of what God is doing currently. So we, Ryan then became the lead, as it were. We moved to Jacksdale. God was very gracious to us at Jacksdale. We would preach there and numbers were added. Things developed at Jacksdale, and then after a couple of years we moved to Watchorn. And God has blessed Watchorn over the last 12, 18 months. And I'm privileged to see what God is doing, but even more astounded at what he's done in my life. And my heart's desire has always been to minister in one way, shape or form, whether that preach or whether one day to be called to pastor a church. And how God has moved over the last 2 years is phenomenal. We now live at Selston. There may be an opportunity opening up. That's in your dear folks' good hands. And I feel so blessed because I'm not worthy. Neither are any of us. But to have people sat here in these seats, and to have people sat at Watchorn whose hearts, even though we, you know, at times we're unreliable, we're unfaithful, but God's done something with our heart. And you'll know it if you're born again. You'll know you're not perfect. But you'll know that change that he made, just like he made in my life. That like John Wesley, one day I did feel my heart strangely warm, not to the degree of a lightning moment like he had, but it was a change. And that's what testimony is all about. You know, they don't always have to be about somebody that was in prison or somebody that had been part of the IRA and killed somebody. And everybody's testimony is powerful because God is the one that does the changing. So I hope that's been a benefit. There's a lot more to it than that. I mean, I couldn't include everything that God's done in my life. I mean, as I mentioned to you last time, when I was preaching, that Logan is a virtual miracle in himself. That, you know, when Tracy was pregnant, there was an area of blood that looked like she was going to have another miscarriage. And I prayed in a field, walking around a tree in Trowel. It was freezing cold, it was snowing, and I just kept circling and crying out. And then we went to the next appointment, and that patch of blood had gone. And he's here today, and God is good. That's all I can tell you. God is wonderful. Let's sing together our next hymn. 159. Ye servants of God, your masters proclaim, and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious and rules over all. 159.